peace. From God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is taken from the lesson just read, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. And Elisha answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Fellow redeemed, a young lady who was intending to join a church which held beliefs other than the one she had been taught in her own church went to her pastor to seek advice. And as they talked about what was apparently troubling her, change of conviction, defection from her current fellowship, her pastor consoled her in this way. Religion is like a pair of spectacles. If you are farsighted, you need glasses for farsightedness. If you are nearsighted, you need a different kind. If you have an emotional nature, you need an emotional kind of religion. If you have an intellectual nature, you need an intellectual, a rational kind of religion. And if you have an artistic bent, you need an aesthetic kind of religion or religious practice or ceremonial to satisfy your particular needs. The pastor was not a Lutheran. Judging from his advice, one wonders whether he was even a pastor. His advice calls to mind Paul's words to Timothy, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." Now, it is true that when a person comes to faith in the true God, when he is led by the Holy Spirit through the call of the gospel, to accept Jesus as his Savior from sin, as his only hope of salvation, he does see things differently. He now has spiritual discernment. He has been given new eyes, the eyes of faith. Paul writes, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." In our text, Elisha's servant was fearful of external circumstances. A powerful army, horses and chariots, surrounding the city, come to capture his master Elisha. His question of fear, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Then Elisha, with the eyes of faith, answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. A skeptic might say that this was an unusual circumstance and certainly does not apply today. God doesn't operate that way anymore. With the eyes of faith, trusting in God's promises, and God cannot lie, you can say, "God has promised to me also the protection of the heavenly host." The psalmist tells me, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." And not only his angels, but he himself will be with me when I carry out his command, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The prophet Micah instructs us, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? Now, how can you walk humbly with him if he is not there? He is there. God is there, and he cares for you. He numbers the hairs of your head. He gathers your tears in his bottle. He promises that no one can take you out of his hand. He tells you that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is, right in the very center of that group. And the prophet tells us that he remembers and notes with pleasure the times that you gather with others to talk of him. He is there, listening. And he assures you throughout Scripture of his constant care in your life. He even reminds you that since he has provided salvation for you, which is the greatest gift of love that he could bestow upon you, he will certainly then take care of all other things in your life. He will certainly then take care of all other things in your life. He inspired Paul to write, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In all these things we are more than conquerors to him that loved us." By assenting to these truths, you are using the eyes of faith. If there are any among you who are fearful of the burdens of this life, of the obstacles and barriers that seem to bog you down, if there are any among you who are concerned about your own abilities or lack of abilities, if you have special concerns about your exegetical ability, your homiletical ability, your ability to deal with people or to relate to them, especially as you contemplate the important work of the ministry of the gospel, if you are afraid that with your ability you cannot do as good a job as is necessary for the work of the kingdom, then use your eyes of faith. And remember that when the Lord calls you to do his work and you follow his bidding faithfully, he, not you, will provide the blessing. In his word, he reminds you that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised is God chosen, yes, and things which are not, to bring to nothingness the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So, if your lack of anything frightens you or discourages you, or if someday you begin to think that you have been given too big a job for you, use your eyes of faith to notice how Elisha used his eyes of faith to dispel the fear of his servants. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. The obstacles and dangers and problems and difficulties that you will face are much smaller than the help that God will provide. Use your eyes of faith also to notice Joshua and Caleb, who were among those who had searched out the land of Canaan, which the Lord had promised the Israelites. Remember their words of counsel as they used their eyes of faith. "If the Lord delight in us," they said, "then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land. The Lord is with us. Fear them not." The presence of fear is one of God's judgments on unbelief and disobedience. God warned the Israelites if you will not hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the land of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them. And they shall flee as fleeing from a sword. And they shall fall when no one pursues. You certainly don't want to fall into that kind of predicament, do you? Then use your eyes of faith to dispel fear. And if you think your abilities are too small or the means at your disposal are not sufficient, use your eyes of faith to notice what our Lord himself did when the 5,000 needed to be fed. The means at his disposal, 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. What did our Lord do? Jesus took the loaves, the means at his disposal, and when he had given thanks, John tells us, he distributed. Don't say, but that was a miracle. Certainly it was a miracle, but our Lord's power has not shrunk. Through the centuries, our God has not become weaker in power and blessing. All scripture is written for our learning. Let it be profitable for you. When God calls you to do his work and has provided you with particular resources, take the means at your disposal. Give thanks for the means he has provided, and then use them. Don't try to excuse yourself or complain by pointing to the resources as being too little. And trust them rather to God's blessing. Do not cry out, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" But proceed with the eyes of faith.